couple of Rogue Valley residents are working on a documentary film project. This particular film is about the life of Marilyn Atkins, a retired judge in Michigan. One of her daughters lives in the Rogue Valley, and so does the proposed maker of a documentary about Judge Atkins. Let's hear more about the film project and the life it is intended to portray. We have Judge Marilyn Atkins with us on the line. Welcome, Judge.
Thank you for having me.
It is very much a pleasure. Elizabeth Ann Atkins, the elder daughter of Marilyn's two daughters, is with us as well. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
It is a pleasure. And Nick Alexander from Nick Alexander Films in Ashland, the filmmaker, with us as well. Hi, Nick.
Hey, good morning, Jeffrey.
Well, good to have you all here. So, Marilyn Atkins, where to begin? It's a long story told by you in the book, The Triumph of Rosemary, the baby you once were, named Rosemary, had quite a few challenges ahead of her, didn't she?
Yes, she did. I didn't know where I was going to end up, of course, when I was born. It is a unique story. And my message is really, I was rejected by my Italian side of the family because I'm biracial, and I was placed in foster care. But where I ended up in life was being the longest-serving chief judge of one of the largest district courts in the country. And I want people to take away from this, you know, you got to face your challenges. You have to keep working. Teamwork makes the dream work. My husband helped me. My children cooperated, and we reached the goals that we had planned when they were small.
Teamwork makes the dream work. That is good. And it figured a lot in your life, it sounds like.
Yes, I realized at an early age that I was going to have to be able to finance two daughters' college educations. My husband was a former Roman Catholic priest. When we married, I was 19 and he was 44. He was white. I'm black. He left the priesthood, and there was a big scandal. And but we in the name of love, we persevered. We were married 24 years before he died in 1990. But I realized in 1971 that at a time when he was going to be retiring, my children were going to be going off to college. So I had to get back in school and hopefully get in a profession where my salary would increase so that I could afford college educations, and that's exactly what we did.
You've given us a quick rundown of some of the challenges you faced from early on. I mean, some other people might have crumpled when faced with them, especially things like abuse in your foster home. How did you come out of it stronger?
You know what? You got to reach way down deep inside and say, I'm not going to let all of this stuff define me. I am going to, I'm going to succeed. And, you know, there was an interesting dichotomy in the household with my adoptive mother. She was abusive, both physically and emotionally. But, and she would tell me, you know, you're not going to amount to anything. But on the other hand, she would absolutely insist that I made the honor roll and that I got good grades. So it's like, okay, am I going to make her or am I going to be a failure? So what I did was I took the other side, and partially out of fear, because I got a beating if I did not make the honor roll, even though she's saying you're never going to amount to anything. But what she gave me was the will to persevere and to succeed. And I, you know, with all that I went through with her, I have to say that I do owe her my career, because in the end, she was the one that insisted that I always have a goal and always achieve my goal, even though the way she went about trying to instill it in me was not very pleasant.
No, memorable, but not in a good way. Marilyn right. Atkins is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a retired judge from the Michigan 36th District in the Detroit area. We're talking about the making of a documentary film, hasn't quite begun yet, based on her memoir, The Triumph of Rosemary, her name at birth. We also have with us Elizabeth Ann Atkins, her elder daughter, and filmmaker Nick Alexander. And if you have questions or comments for our guests, join us at 800 938-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Elizabeth Ann Atkins, you and your sister Catherine are the editors of your mother's book. Were you thinking as it was being written and assembled that it would make a good movie?
Oh, my gosh, yes. People forever have been telling our mother she should write a book about her life, even before we started Two Sisters Writing and Publishing, our company. And it's just remarkable. And the fact that she and her father found such peace and love together and illustrated to the world that love truly conquers all, because they faced some tremendous obstacles. So, yes, we were thrilled when she finally sat down and wrote her book. And now working with Nick to make it into a movie takes it to a whole nother level. And the message is the mission, which is all about cultivating the love and harmony that we saw in our home to share with the world during these very divisive times.
What kind, so is it a documentary or narrative, or what do you have planned here?
We are making a documentary film. And we are going to have our mother, me and Catherine, my sister, narrate on camera, and then have actors reenact parts, the most important parts of the story, so that it can just bring them to life, because they happen in the 50s and 60s and 70s. And so we also intend at a future date to have a feature film made, but for now the documentary style is what we're doing with Nick, and we have created a trailer and the Indiegogo funding campaign, and we're super excited. People are very, very supportive.
Okay, so actually two films then, a documentary first and then a feature down the road potentially. That's it's an ambitious set of plans you have.
Well, we can do it. The world is such that anything is possible, and we believe in it. So, and you know what? Once people read the book that they said she should write, they're like, oh, now you need to make a movie, because she wrote it in a very conversational, honest, authentic way, and people resonated, even if they didn't have any, you know, interracial marriage or issues with the church or whatever. They still love a good love story and also an against-the-odds success story. So this book has every element that good drama makes, and my mother's adamant about not sensationalizing it, because it's sensational enough.
I was about to ask about that part when I first heard the word sensational. There's plenty of sensation in there already, isn't there, Marilyn?
There is. I don't want anybody to bump it up a notch, though, because it's, you know, it's a beautiful story. It's, you know, I mean, a priest leaving the priesthood and getting married and his first foray into dating and having a woman in his life. I mean, it was very sweet. I mean, he was a wonderful man, and actually, he knew exactly what he wanted. He went to the priesthood, first of all, on the insistence of his parents. He had a brother who was in the seminary, who was drafted into the war, never made it back. His body was never found. After the memorial service, his father turned to him and said, "You are going to the seminary." And he went, because that's what you did. You obeyed your parents. So after 15 years, he said, "I want my own family. I want my own wife. I want my own children. And if I don't leave in my mid-40s, I'm going to miss that opportunity." And so he left. And I mean, it really caused a storm. His mother didn't speak to him. The bishop told us we were going to hell. It was bad. And on top of that, you're talking about a 45-year-old white ex-priest marrying a 19-year-old black girl. So you don't need to sensationalize it anymore. It's got its own built-in the story.
Yeah. Nick Alexander, how did this come to you?
Yeah, well, it's quite an amazing story. Of course, living here in Southern Oregon, I connected with Catherine, Elizabeth's sister, and I presented my first documentary feature film, Illegal, which is about a local, Laz Ayala, right here in Ashland. And that had similar cultural tones, an uplifting movie about his life as an immigrant. And so I shared that with Catherine, who later watched the movie, shared it with her sister, with her mother, And later I found out about the book and got excited about it, read it, and I saw another opportunity. Similarly with Laz Ayala, I heard about his story, I pitched the idea. And so really, this is just a similar project for Nick Alexander Films. It's a culturally uplifting movie or story that can be transferred and created into a movie. And so we're really excited about the production and, of course, making telling Marilyn's story in the version of a film.
And how far down the track are you now in terms of pre-production, that sort of thing?
Yeah, great question. So at this time, we have created a crowdfunding video because right now we are looking for support, backers, and potentially investors to support our movie production. We have not entered pre-production yet, but as soon as we have the necessary funds to begin this project, we will be beginning pre-production this summer with the hopes to film the movie later this year, releasing the movie in 2023.
So, Elizabeth Atkins, I have to ask, movie scripts are generally much shorter than books, so, you know, you have to compress and condense. I mean, do you have a working script in hand?
Well, fortunately, we have the book, and what we're doing is extracting the key scenes, and the dialogue is already written, so it's actually going to be quite an easy task. I have written screenplays, and we have Nick's expertise as well, so we're certain that that part is going to be pretty easy. We, in fact, for the trailer, the video you can watch on the Indiegogo website for the Triumph of Grace and Mary movie, I wrote the script, and then we had a collaboration of me, Nick, our mother, and Catherine, and we toned it, chiseled it down to 3 minutes, and it was fun. So I'm certain that the next phase of the writing will be just as smooth.
We are talking about the pre-production of The Triumph of Rosemary, an intended documentary film about the life of Judge Marilyn Atkins, whose name was Rosemary at birth. We have Judge Atkins with us. You just heard her elder daughter, Elizabeth Ann Atkins, and the filmmaker Nick Alexander are with us as well here on the Jefferson Exchange. Marilyn Atkins, your story, I mean, marrying a white man bearing interracial children is right there in time with rulings that made it legal for you to be married under the laws of the time. I mean, progress on race relations is always a work in progress. Is much getting done, do you think, in this point in history?
Well, there are 33 million Americans that identify as multiracial. 15% of new marriages are interracial. If you look around, it's happening. Elizabeth and I visited Catherine and Nick just recently, and we went to the Juneteenth celebration in Ashland, and I was astounded at the number of interracial couples and biracial children. There were hundreds of people there, and I mean, I did not, first of all, expect that in Oregon, and maybe Detroit, yes, but in Oregon and Southern Oregon, no. And I was amazed at the number. So it's growing. And somebody termed it as the Browning of America. It is not just black and white. It is Hispanic and white. It is Asian. And it's all kinds of folks that are finding love, with people outside of their race. It's happening. It's real. I don't believe it's going to stop. And I believe that there has to be a conversation with the children of these folks, also with them, with the parents, but with the children of these folks, because society wants to put you in a hole. What are you calling yourself? When you have a biracial child, if the biracial child says, well, I'm black, well, you're leaving the other one out, says I'm white, you're still leaving somebody out. And so the term biracial is the one, or multiracial is the one that is most often used, but what is the conversation between these parents and their children with respect to society, how they are accepted, how they are understood? There's all kinds of challenges that they have to go through. My daughters went through that. She was we were in an area in when she was in high school where there were few black kids, and she went to a school that was 99% white. a white kid asked her out on a date. She went on the date, and a few days later, he says, "I understand your mother is a," and he used the N-word.
Wow.
And he said, "My parents can't see you anymore." So these are the things that biracial children go through. We need to understand what they're going through. Society needs to understand that we are all people. We want the same thing as everybody else. And we're not going anywhere. The numbers are increasing.
On a separate matter, you retired as a judge a few years ago, but judges certainly can't seem to stay out of the news lately. Do you wish you were still a judge at times? And what is your general opinion of those who are?
I do not wish I... 21 years. It was a wonderful, wonderful career. The best job I ever had was being the chief judge of a large court. But I'm ready for others to do that. And because of COVID, there's a lot of working from home. There's a lot of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I preferred the crowded courtrooms where I could do the cases, hear the jury trials. See, and that's not going on much anymore because of the pandemic. So I really am not tech savvy. I don't really want to hold court over Zoom. And what do I think of the ones? It takes a lot to be a judge. It really takes a lot. You have to follow the law, apply the laws, but you have to have some compassion as well. Judges are human beings, and they bring with them all of the things that they are to the bench. The sentimental things you have to set aside because you have a job to do. You're elected to do a job, and you have to do that. And I say God bless them, and I wish them all well. And but I'm happily retired.
For the documentary, The Triumph of Rosemary, Elizabeth Ann Atkins, do you have people in mind for who will play the younger versions of the people in your mother's life, which I guess includes you?
Did you say for the documentary?
Well, I mean, you will have people represented in some of the scenes, won't you? I mean,
right. Like, yeah. So we're definitely going to go for people who look like us, but also have the acting ability to portray us accurately. But for the feature film, we want George Clooney to play our father and Zoe Saldana to play our mother.
Sounds fair. Not too big a reach, right?
Nope.
Nick Alexander, are you thinking for the documentary a theatrical release or film festivals? What's the plan? Just a few seconds left here.
Yeah, absolutely. So Illegal, my first documentary feature film, we went to about 50 different film festivals, won 15 different nominations and awards. I think Triumph of Rosemary, we want to shoot for the moon, and we will definitely be pursuing film festivals, but a theatrical release or perhaps even on a streaming service is definitely where we want to go. And above all, we want eyes. We want this, our culture, our communities to see this film. So we look forward to shoot for the moon and see where we land.